Selassie was born in London and raised in Massachusetts. She received her BA from Yale, continued her studies at Oxford, and now lives in Rome. Her story, The Sex Lives of African Girls, was published in 2011 and appears in Best American Short Stories of 2012. Ghana Must Go is her debut novel. Publishers Weekly called the book gorgeous, reminiscent of Jhumpa Lahiri, but with even greater warmth and vibrancy. Welcome, Taye. It's lovely to have you with us on the Book Report.
It's my pleasure.
Ghana Must Go is a very intriguing title. How did you come to choose it?
Well, I always say that it sort of chose me. I started the novel after sort of a flash of insight in a shower in Sweden, of all places. And when I'd written about 10 pages, it came time to save the document. And the first name that came to mind for the then 10-page-long manuscript was Ghana Must Go. And when I finished, I considered whether I had, in fact, sort of in that moment selected the right title for the book and determined that indeed I had.
Is the book autobiographical?
It's not. It is full, however, with autobiographical details. I've said that I think learning to write a novel, which is what you do when you write it, when you write one for the first time, taught me that you can give more attention and more energy to the inner lives of characters, to their motivations, their hopes, their dreams, and so forth, if you are not spending that much time thinking about the superficial details, where they go to school, where they live, the names of the streets, the names of the buildings. And so I just picked things that I know. I had the family grow up in Brookline, Massachusetts, as I did. I had the children go to Yale, as my twin and I did, to Harvard Med, as she did. The father's a surgeon, like my dad, and so forth. But the people, the characters, are not my family members, and certainly this story is theirs and not mine.
I learned in the book that one of your characters, named Tyro, is from the Yoruban meaning to see and taste the world, the first twin. So that's based on, because you're a twin also, is that right?
I'm a twin also. So the all twins, male or female, receive this name in the Yoruba culture, and Taye and Taiwo are two variants on the same name, a bit like Liz and Beth are common variants of Elizabeth. So I chose Taiwo because it's not exactly Taye, but really there was no other name to give the character, having decided that she was a twin.
In the beginning of Ghana Must Go, Kweko dies of a heart attack and really of a broken heart. Give us the background of that story.
Absolutely. So Kweko Sai is a gifted surgeon. As a young child, he left Ghana to study in the United States on a scholarship. There he met his wife, Fola, who is Nigerian and Scottish, and they have four children. Olu, the eldest, also becomes a doctor. The twins, as mentioned, Taiwo and Kainde, a girl and a boy, and then the youngest, Sadie. They've lived in the States for years, and everything's been going well until Kweku suffers a devastating humiliation and in his despair leaves his family. So when we find him in his garden dying, as you say, of a heart attack, we are 16 years past the moment in which he abandoned his family, and the rest of the novel, following on from his death, explores what happened to them after he left.
You've coined the term Afropolitans. Talk about that.
It's been an interesting experience for me. I wrote an essay in 2005 trying to get a handle on my own identity, really. When I'm asked, where are you from, I always sort of fumble with the answer. And I thought, listen, there's got to be a better, quicker way to describe this. And Afropolitan was my answer, meaning someone who has a deep and unbreakable tie to a country or countries on the African continent, who has a decidedly global perspective, and who is committed in whatever way to seeing change happen for Africa, for African people, for themselves as Africans in the world. And it was amazing. I wrote that essay really sort of describing my identity, my twin sisters, our cousins, but was amazed and delighted to find that so many African young people around the globe could identify with the term, with the identity, with the experience, such that the term is now sort of widely used.
On a socioeconomic level, Ghana seems to be at the heart of today's African growth and progress. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Ghana is today at the heart and has always been. Ghana was the first African nation to achieve its independence in 1957. We just recently celebrated the anniversary of that. And I think from that moment forward, Ghana has always been at the forefront of African politics. We take democracy really seriously, which I think reflects itself not only in the political life, but as you say, the socioeconomic life of Ghanaian citizens. And since my mom's been living there for the past 15 years, the capital city, Accra, has evolved tremendously, such that now most of my peers, my cousins, our friends that were educated in the so-called West are now thinking of returning home to raise their families.
And are there special challenges of writing about an African family for a Western audience?
I don't believe that I am writing for a Western audience. I don't think that most novelists are really writing for any audience, quite frankly. I think that certainly in my case, the language, the music, the story is of the utmost importance to me. The challenge arises not for me as the novelist, but rather for me as the figure asked always to speak about the political situation of a country that I care about deeply, but that is not my subject as a nation state. So my subject are human beings, and I'm often asked to speak about politics. And that, I think, is the challenge for any African novelist, that we are often conflated with African politicians.
All right. Tell us about your meeting with Toni Morrison.
Surely. I met Professor Morrison when I was finishing my grad degree at Oxford. She came to receive an honorary degree, and by chance we found ourselves at the same dinner. She very kindly reached out when we returned to the States and ultimately gave me a deadline, a year, to produce a piece of writing for her to read. I had struggled for the decade preceding to finish any fiction at all, sort of bound, I think, by a combination of fear and desperate love, really. And when she gave me this deadline, I had no choice but to meet it, and in so doing, I began writing again. I sent her The Sex Lives of African Girls and was trying to make Sex Lives longer when I began Ghana Must Go.
And what's your next project? What are you working on now?
Right now, I'm working on a novel, my second, which is set in Rome, where I live, and it's a love story.
All right. Well, I very much enjoyed your book, and I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
All righty.